Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, welcome. Some say money makes the world go round. Some say love makes the world go round. Well, whatever spins your world, we have it covered on today's show. Coming up around 12:30, we're pleased to welcome back the dream detective, Mimi Pettibone. She's one of the best dream analysts that I've come across, and she joined us on New Year's Eve to answer your dream questions. Since Valentine's Day is coming up, we're going to talk about your romantic or sensual dreams. So I have some listener dreams that she's going to analyze that people emailed or called in to me. And we'd also love it if you'd call in with your dream or sleep questions. And it doesn't have to be romantic or sensual. We just kind of angled it that way because Valentine's Day was coming up. But anyway, we'll throw the lines open when Mimi joins us. And that will be around 12:30-ish. But first, we're going to take a look at real-life stories of how ordinary people in their communities have developed and are using new money, a different kind of currency. It's designed to strengthen local economies, create work, beautify cities, and provide education. I'm joined by Jackie Dunn. She's an award-winning journalist. She's the founder and CEO of Danu Resource and an emerging leader in helping entrepreneurs develop technologies and initiatives to restore the Earth's equilibrium. Dunn's company provides an interface between donors and projects, creating a paradigm shift, I love this, for a quadruple bottom line, people, planet, profits, and power within. Welcome, Jackie Dunn, to the show.
Thank you, Vicki. Great to talk to you this afternoon.
And to you. And you wrote a book called How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity, Rethinking Money, with Bernard Lyotard. And let me just tell our listeners a little about Bernard's background, because that's very impressive. He's known as somebody who is an expert on money. He's known that way across the world. He's an international expert in the design and implementation of currency systems. He co-designed and implemented the convergence mechanism to the single European currency system, which we know as the euro. And he served as president of the electronic payment system at the National Bank of Belgium. For the past 30 years, he studied and worked in the field of money as a central banker, fund manager, university professor, and consultant to governments in numerous countries and with many multinational corporations and community organizations. So between the two of you, you have a really impressive background.
Thank you.
So how did you guys get together?
It actually were introduced about 12 years ago through a mutual friend. And, you know, I was in California, and we were headed off to lunch, and we met Bernard along the street, and he joined us for lunch, and we started a conversation. As I said, it's been going for about a dozen years now, so it was a great luncheon conversation, and out of that conversation has come a lot of work together, and this book, Rethinking Money.
Now, I read that you wanted to investigate money and write about this because for you there was a contradiction between the great spiritual teachings and today's reality. Something was disconnected for you. What was it?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting that you're having a dream an analyst person coming in after our conversation, because I think everybody dreams of a better world and dreams of a better economic situation for themselves and for their families. And until and unless we actually look at our current monetary system, it's going to be impossible because something has got to shift. You know, what we use today, whether it be euros or dollars or whatever it is the one type of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it was invented, you know, 400 years ago with a very different worldview. It, you know, it was sparked off by the scientific revolution, and this kind of money really was the engine for the Industrial Revolution. But we're in a very, very different place now, and we've got a different consciousness. And it is now possible to, and this is something that most listeners might say, how in heaven's name can you design another currency? Or, you know, how is this possible? But it is, because money lives in the space of an agreement. We agree to accept a money or not. We know, for example, the most common example of a currency that we probably don't think of as a currency is frequent flyer miles.
Right.
And this started off, Vicky, as you well know, about 35 years ago by American Airlines as some kind of a marketing gimmick in order to make sure they had loyal customers with, you know, with perks by flying on their airline. But this has grown in the last, you know, 3 or 4 decades into another form of currency. Because if you think about it, you can take your frequent flyer miles. Not only can you buy airline seats, but you can also get hotel nights, rent cars, and, you know, certain airlines have catalogs where you can get a bunch of services and products using the frequent flyer mile program of that particular airline.
Right. You say that under the current system that we have, that we are all losers, even the very wealthy, which is kind of surprising to hear you say that. So talk to us a little about that, if you would.
There's a lot of threads to that thought, but in very simple ways, Bernice Hill has written a book about the four wounds of money, the wounds of money. And there is, you know, if you're a very wealthy person, say you're, you know, a superstar like Beyonce, or you're a Rockefeller, you know, by your very name, people make assumptions about your money and what you do with your money. And there's this expectation of what you're expected to be charitable. There's a lot of expectations around it. But it all leads to a lot of isolation, which is that, you know, you're concerned if somebody's dating you because of your money, and you feel you've got to sort of hide it. So you cannot, you know, the whole, there's a lot of breakdown in trust. You can't trust the people around you. Can you trust your financial advisors? Can you trust yourself in the decisions you're making?
Right.
So, you know, and a lot of people listening to this say, yeah, I'd love to have that problem. But, you know, we just took that as an example of, you know, the system is not working. I mean, there isn't sufficient money to go around for, you know, people to take care of their lives, for communities to respond to, you know, disasters like Sandy, for example. I mean, it's incredible, you know, a great nation like America, you know, how long it took for the power to be turned on and just the real suffering that people are having. You know, there are so many children to be educated. There's elderly to be taken care of. You know, in order for the dollar or the euro or the yen to maintain its value, it's got to be kept scarce. So simply there is not enough money to go around. But by rethinking money, communities have gotten together and have linked new currencies to link unused resources. And when you think about all the unused resources we have, including people's labor and time, with unmet needs. And, you know, our unmet needs are as long as your arm.
Right. I was, you know, I've heard about this, and I did a show on it a while ago where they said maybe money would become obsolete at some point. You believe that we have to actually have both forms of currency, the currency as we know it today, plus the new currency that communities and people are implementing in certain areas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not an either or. That's why it's called complementary currencies. It complements the system. It works in tandem. And, you know, while our current monetary system, just put it this way, it's like having a hammer. And hammers are great if you want to drive a nail into the wall. What we're suggesting is that we need a monetary toolkit where, of course, you have a hammer, but you also have a screwdriver. You've also got a paintbrush. You've also got a Phillips head. You've also got, you know.
Right.
Know, you try painting a room with a hammer, you know, good luck. And so there's this amazing convergence at the moment of, you know, cheaper computing, access to the internet and social media, where people and communities are coming together, seeing what's the great stories all around the world, and are being inspired to create their own currencies. And who better than a community themselves, be it, you know, a geographical community, a business community, you know, a dog fanciers community, however you want to describe a community,
right,
can get together and make an assessment of what their unused resources are and what their unmet needs, and design a currency to do so.
Right.
It's all there on the net. It's all there.
Yeah.
Download.
Yes, and you know, I was really surprised reading your book. I was in the financial industry for many years. I was a senior manager. Finance, you know, comes easy to me. Economics, not so much. You know, I'd find my brain kind of going to sleep in economic class. But this book was so interesting. And there were so many real-life stories in here about communities across America and across the world. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to look at some of those stories to, you know, illustrate how people are using alternative currencies.
Lovely.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest is Jackie Dunn. The book we're talking about today is called Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity, and Jackie co-authored this with Bernard Leotard. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
I was leaving an exercise class.
All of a sudden, the pain started.
My entire chest.
Shortness of breath.
Very fatigued.
Nauseated.
Thought that it was nothing much, maybe just stress.
You're having a heart attack.
I'm healthy. I'm young. There's no way it could be my heart. No way.
Heart disease doesn't discriminate.
Listen to your body. Go get checked.
Heart disease is the number one killer in women.
And this is something that we can fight.
Visit GoRedForWomen.org to learn a woman's risk for heart disease.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair has a new Facebook page, so you can see what's happening on our show and what we're up to between shows. Like us on Facebook and look out for upcoming contest drawings.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Money don't get everything it's due. What it don't get, I can't use. Now give me money.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And we're talking in this segment with Jackie Dunn. She's written a great book with Bernard Leotard called Rethinking Money. And, you know, I said a couple of minutes ago, I was in the finance world for many years as a senior manager. But the subject of actual economics always used to make me go to sleep. This book I found so fascinating, Jackie. This is a testament to your work here.
Oh, thank you.
I found so fascinating that I went out and did additional research.
Oh, great.
I just was enthralled by some of the stories in here because, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to talk about some of the real life stories that you share in the book to illustrate how ordinary people in their communities have developed and are using new forms of currency. To strengthen local economies, they've created work, they've beautified cities, provided education, literally turned around whole communities. So let's begin with this. Do you have a favorite story that you share in the book?
Oh, gosh. It's like asking to choose one of my children. I love them all. I think, let me take a very simple example so people can get their mind around how this actually works. So Japan, for example, has a huge problem with the aging population. And And, you know, where do you find the money to take care of elderly? So they designed a currency about 30 years ago that's still been going strong called Furiakipu, which means caring friendship tickets. And with that, I go down the road to a neighbor and I might drive her, you know, to, you know, a doctor's appointment, or I might help another neighbor write a letter to the insurance company, or, you know, just help with the preparation of a meal, whatever needs to happen. And for every hour I spend helping out a neighbor, I get an electronic credit in my Furiakipu account for 1 hour. And I can save these credits or units until, you know, I need somebody to come in and look after me, or I can transfer them to my mom or a member of my family or friend on another part of the country so somebody come in and take care of that individual of my choice. The point being here is that the people who were surveyed that were part of these currencies were just utterly delighted to have a neighbor, usually a younger person, come in, and they formed friendships. And they were able to stay in their own homes longer and be more independent. And so they weren't burdening the system by having to be, quote-unquote, institutionalized and go to an old people's retirement home. And additionally, you know, if somebody needed a kidney dialysis or broke a leg or something, they would obviously be taken care of by the local hospital. But a large chunk of elderly people were able to stay longer in their own home. And a version of this is a system called time dollars here in the United States. Actually, it's about, 34 countries around the world now, where, you know, each hour is equal to a time dollar.
Right.
And these are being used in New York, for example. The five boroughs of New York, Mayor Bloomberg has a visiting nurses program whereby they're paid for in time dollars. Education is being paid for. There's a new mentoring system that is being launched, a pilot program in D.C. this week, where students of a fifth grade class, if they mentor a fourth grader, they will get points, and these can be redeemed for baskets of food. And so you have students as breadwinners, and, you know, this is helping the educational system. So, you know, students are getting help with their homework or learning a certain subject or whatever, and they're also being able to turn these in for something that helps the family.
It's really quite fascinating. You say there are over 4,000 cooperative currencies in existence, and I don't know how many of those are in America. I read in 2009 there were just about 20, but over the last couple of years it's just bloomed.
Yes, and there's all different types of designs. I mean, there are mutual credit systems, there are time banking, and there's about, I think it's about 400 now in the United States. And I was talking to Edgar Kahn recently, the founder of time banking, and he was saying, you know, it's growing exponentially. There's one or two new systems every single week here in the United States.
Right.
You know, and there's lots of different, you know, designs, you know, currencies that are backed by dollars. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, there's great imagination out there. But there's about 4,000 mature systems. You know, there are gazillions of other ones that we haven't quite gotten on the radar yet.
Right. And I did look, we've got several in Washington. Some of them are kind of now defunct. I guess they didn't work out too well, but there are still some that are going. And one of those is a time bank that's up in Shoreline in Washington. I read that one of the most successful programs is in Massachusetts, and I found out about that because a PR person I've worked with put a comment on my Facebook page saying that they have, where he lives, what are called Burke shares, and you can buy them for $90. You can buy $100 worth for $90, but it keeps the money in Berkshire.
Yes, it's been highly successful. And there are local banks that actually are the exchange, the currency exchange centers, as it were. And the purpose of this was the community got together and they wanted to keep the money local. And, you know, if you have a local currency, it will stay in the region in which it is circulated. So it does stimulate the local currency. And in my interviews with the founders of the Burke shares in the Berkshires, try say that one quickly, is that, you know, they find that this money circulates about three to five times more readily than a dollar. So they're really, really leveraging this complementary currency to really stimulate the local economy.
Yeah. There was a great story in the book about Wales, a village in Wales, which was really in dire state financially. They had no jobs. People were living, you know, very poorly. And they developed their own currency and have really turned things around. How did they do that?
Yeah, it's a great story. And I think that, you know, rather than an awful lot of it is sort of touchy-feely and anecdotal, they actually went in to make a survey of how this small village in South Wales using a time banking system. And according to the Welsh Index of Material Deprivation, no less, out of 180 communities in Wales, they were almost at the bottom.
Right.
They were like 128 on the scale. And within 10 years, they moved 600 places.
Very significant.
You know, really significant to a place where, you know, they're able to demonstrate that, you know, the antisocial behavior, the crime and the unemployment. And basically it's one of these South Wales villages that had horrible economic problems as a result of the closing down of the mining pits, you know, under Thatcher.
Right.
And, you know, there was nothing to do. I mean, this place is in the middle of absolutely nowhere, you know, with a bus that goes into Cardiff, you know, twice a day. Nothing. And by the community getting together, they're able to build a local sort of town hall, which is the center of the currency. And there's a cafe, and there's teaching and education going on, sports events. I mean, everything you could possibly imagine is actually being paid for in that local community in time banking.
Yeah, and think of the pride that must have instilled in that community. And then the more pride they get, the better they're going to do. The self-esteem's going to rise, and, you know, we all know how that, you know, produces good things.
Yes, I mean, it's very depressing, you know, to not have a job and to not be able to, you know, pay your bills. And everybody deserves the right, you know, to the decency of work. And this is one way to get people working.
Mm. Well, let's look at some of the criticism, because proponents of these currencies say they boost community economies by keeping money in the area, you know, in many cases. But critics tend to dismiss that, saying it's a fashionable gimmick. It's tantamount to protectionism. So, you know, and I've run across this in Cornwall, where I used to love to go when my mom was alive and she lived down there. Because Cornwall, when, you know, they took the Europe, the Euro, you know, Britain, England refused to participate, and we still have the pound. And in parts of Cornwall, they still refuse to use the metric scale. they still use pounds and ounces in certain places, and they keep getting fined for it, but they don't care. They're going to do it our way.
People aren't totally entitled to their opinions, but the fact is that, you know, these currencies do not replace the conventional system. They augment it, meaning that it puts more cash into people's pockets. And people use dollars and they use euros and they use the local complementary currencies. And, you know, there may be a situation that, you know, I want my spare bedroom painted. I don't have the money. But if I could have a blended transaction where I'm paying a painter for the paints and the turps and the paintbrushes in the conventional currency, but I'm able to pay for his time or her time in the complementary currency, we then have a deal because
right.
I'm now able to afford it.
Right.
And, you know, this is something that I think people forget is really important for democracy. It's really important for the well-being of all societies, is that people have work and they're able to look after their lives. And it does take other currencies to put more cash into people's pockets.
Yeah. Well, it's a very interesting topic. And we have to let you go in a minute, but I wonder if you just share what you're working on in Ireland, because I think that's very exciting.
Oh, it has not been officially announced, but they are looking to instigate a wellness currency in that country, which incentivizes people to take care of their health. And as you know, an awful lot of our diseases, some cancers, you know, diabetes, and a bunch of health, serious health problems, are results of lifestyle. And they're designing a currency that incentivizes people, you know, to get out there, exercise, make better choices. So, you know, with currencies, as I said, you can design it to link unused resources with unmet needs and get an outcome not only of greater availability of money, but you do breed communities. And that's, I think, what everybody is longing for, is to have a better sense of community.
Yeah, fabulous. Good work. Great book. Really interesting. This is not a snooze read, let me tell you.
And we're coming to Seattle.
That's right. And I want you to, there's a town hall meeting, and you're coming March when?
March 20th.
And where can people find out more about you so they can find out more about that?
If you go to the town hall of Seattle, they have a link there to their program on the evening of the 20th in Seattle. And we will be talking about how we're rethinking money. And I really look forward to meeting people there and continuing the conversation.
Yeah, and it's not very much to get in. It's a real, really interesting topic. And again, the date?
The 20th of March.
All right. And we will ping that. We'll remind listeners closer to the date. Jackie Dunn, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Vicky.
And you can find, Jackie, before you go, which is the best website for people to reach you?
Well, it's actually under construction at the moment, but if they go to rethinkingmoneythebook.com and check in there, they will they'll get information, and as materials are being updated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank
super.
You.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
My guest, Jackie Dunn, her co-author, Bernard Lyotard, the book Rethinking Money. And we will be right back. We're going to talk with the Dream Detective about your romantic and sensual dreams. If you'd like to call in, we can open the phone lines, 425-373-5527 or 888-298-KKNW. Or 5569 if you prefer that. I'll give that out again when we come back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay with us.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Lisa, it's Janet.
What's wrong?
It's the bridesmaids' dresses for Lindsay's wedding.
Oh, no. Tell me they're not fuchsia.
They're not fuchsia.
They're chiffon? I specifically said no chiffon. I mean,
they're not chiffon.
Then what?
They're made out of old yellow pages.
Excuse me?
Uh-huh. Something about recycling and good karma on her wedding day.
Great. I'm not going to know whether a guy's checking me out or just looking for the number of a good mechanic.
Very funny.
There's a better way to recycle your outdated Dex phone books. Call 1-877-2-GET-DEX or log on to DexKnows.com to find out how.
Coming soon on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Find out what drives us to compete when we talk to number one New York Times bestselling author Poe Bronson about his new book, Top Dog. And watch out, guys, when we explore how to unleash the power of the female brain with one of the world's leading brain experts, Dr. Daniel G. Amen. We'll also tell you what you need to know about shingles and if you can avoid becoming one of the million Americans who succumb to this painful condition every year. Tune in every Monday at noon Pacific to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for details and more than 200 archived podcasts.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my guest in this segment is the Dream Detective, Mimi Pettibone. You may remember Mimi. She joined us on New Year's Eve. And we are going to open up the phone lines. If you have a dream that you'd like to get analyzed, please do feel free to call in today. We'd love to hear from you. And if it's a romantic or sensual dream, then that would be cool. It can be any dream, though, at all. So the numbers are 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or 888-298-KKNW, 888-298-KKNW, or 5569. And let me introduce my guest here, Mimi Pettibone, a.k.a. the Dream Detective. She's been fascinated with dreams, spirituality, and the mystical realm since she was a small child. Her background includes training in NLP, hypnotherapy, voice dialogue, and other modalities of working with consciousness. Her knowledge and understanding of symbolism, metaphor, and spiritual psychology contributes to all of her work. And she does offer private consultations, readings, workshops, and classes that inspire, enrich, enlighten, and entertain. Love it. And I know she's got some coming up, so we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Mimi Pettibone, welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Well, I'm pleased to have you. Since Valentine's Day is coming up this week, we're talking about romantic and sensual dreams. But of course, if listeners want to call in on any other topic, they can. But I wanted to do a quick follow-up with you because last time we talked, one of the listeners had emailed us his dream. And I'll just refresh your memory real quick. He's a professional athlete. He's in British Columbia. And we just called him Joe because he didn't want to use his real name. But he kept dreaming that he had to get changed into his gear and there were no doors on the changing cubicles and people could see him. And in his dream, it was causing him great distress. And he said, this is really odd because I am a professional athlete and I'm, you know, always walking around naked in the showers and the changing room. So it's pretty normal for me. And you had told him, do you remember what you told him?
Well, normally when we dream of, there's sort of a classic theme of being naked in public, it means we're feeling kind of vulnerable and exposed.
Right.
And it is quite common for people who are in the public spotlight, especially, and anyone can have it, but especially someone who's in the spotlight, their private life tends to be scrutinized a little bit more. So
right.
That would be my speculation without talking to him.
Right. And you'd also said later in the show that once you recognize why you're dreaming something, often you won't dream it again. So I called him because I know him. And I said, have you had that dream since you heard this analysis? And he thought, and he goes, you know, I haven't. I just thought I'd share that with you.
Oh, thank you. That's nice. Well, I hope that it helped him to understand what was triggering that dream.
Right. So we've got lots to talk about. I had several listeners. One person called and I wrote down their dream as fast as I could while we were talking. And then I had some emails come in. And let's just start with this one. Josie in California said she's had several dreams about her sister's husband. We are lovers and everything is hot and passionate. Sometimes she's actually orgasmed during the dream. She doesn't understand it because they've always, her and her sister have always had very different taste in men. And she follows the sister rule, you know. No man becomes between my sister and no
yeah,
sister comes
sister
between
wife.
My man. Yeah, really. And she says, although I like my brother-in-law as a person, I quite frankly find him sexually repulsive. I hope she didn't use her real name. So why do I keep dreaming about him?
That is a great question and a great example dream because a lot of people have sexual dreams about people that in waking life they would never even dream of having any type of encounter in that way. So the dream is actually a metaphor for connecting with the qualities that that person represents to her. So if I had her on the phone right now, I would say, give me three words to describe your sister's husband. And we could make up an example. Let's say she says, oh, you know, he's a really great father and he's really loyal. And maybe she's thinking of becoming a parent herself, or she wants to be more of a parent like he is. Or maybe he's in a career field that she really admires and would herself like to be in. Whatever it is, it could be anything, but there's something about him that she really does like and admire, some qualities about him, and the dream is giving her a chance to connect with those. There is another layer that is biological, because during the REM sleep cycle, which is when we have these dreams, the story-like dreams, is when men and women both become biologically sexually aroused during the REM state. So anything that's going on with our body can be incorporated into our dreams. So there's yet another level, but the story will still hold an individual meaning for the dreamer.
Oh, interesting. All right, so we have another one from Rita, who's somewhere in Washington. And I can see why she didn't want to say where. So she said, I totally forgot this dream about this dream until my boss leant over me the other day at work. He's a little creepy at work. He puts his hand on your back just a little too low, holds onto your hand just a little too long if you shake hands. You know, those, we've all had those kind of experiences, right?
Yeah, yuck.
But in my dreams, I can't get enough of him. He's not at all interested in me. I'm the one chasing him, and I get all upset and frustrated because he ignores me. Then I wake up PO'd because I wasted a perfectly good dream on him. Ugh. Please don't tell me I'm secretly crushing on him.
No, she's not secretly crushing on him. No way, no how. Not a creepy man like that. But there obviously is some thing about him, some quality, once again, that she is pursuing within herself. Because in waking life, he's the one who's kind of pursuing her. But in the dream, she's pursuing him. So, if I had her on the phone, I would ask her, what qualities does he represent to you? Or give me some adjectives, or what's he like? And it could be, theoretically, that he's her boss, so maybe she wishes she could advance more in her career. And maybe she feels like she's chasing that, some kind of career advancement opportunity where she could be some kind of boss or in a higher position. But in the dream, he's ignoring her, so perhaps there's an opportunity that she's pursuing that she's feeling overlooked by.
Oh, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes, that makes sense.
And it could be an actual opportunity, like she's trying to apply for other jobs, or that, you know, just embracing these more boss-like qualities within herself. And the way she described him in the dream, he's the kind of person who takes whatever he can get and then some.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's the kind of person who's like, oh, no, that's okay, I don't need any more, you know,
right,
you take all the rest and I'll just take this little crumb here. In her personal, professional, whatever, if she's that type of personality, it could be that it would feel really good to connect with that trait of taking more.
Right.
Feeling a sense of entitlement.
Yeah, yeah, makes perfect sense. You know, one of the things I was wondering about, because I've had friends who, I've never had a dream about a celebrity really, but I've had friends who've had these dreams, and we've had discussions about it, as you can imagine, over a glass of wine.
Oh, yes. Those are the fun ones, usually.
So what does it mean if somebody dreams they have sex with a celebrity?
That's a great one, and it's another really common one. Again, we look at the qualities that that person represents. So I'd say, how would you describe this person? Maybe somebody dreams that they're getting hot and heavy with some famous musician, and they have some latent musical talent that they haven't really fulfilled and they would like to connect with more.
Oh, So we need to go think about that and pursue our passion.
Right. And it could be their actual talent that they're known for. That's very common. Or it could be some other type of personality trait. Okay. So I always say, just give me some description of that person as if I didn't know who they were. And then we find out what it is within themselves that they either would like to or maybe are starting to connect with even more.
Okay.
And it feels really good. And it's all about passion. So in the dream, it makes it sexual. But in our waking life, we have different types of passions, and they're not all
right.
sexual, but it still all has to do with passion.
Right. It's so fascinating. I believe we have a caller called in with a dream. And I'll let Eric introduce us here.
Yes, we've got Lily on the line right now.
Thank you. Okay, hi, Lily.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, well, I'm doing well for Monday.
Good. So what's your dream?
Okay, there's this guy that I kind of like. Okay, let's wiggle kind of. But we're out in this area, and people are shooting at us. And we're running. And we run into this house. And I say, oh, we made it. We didn't get, we're safe. Everything, right? I turn to walk away from him, and he shoots me 3 times in the back.
Wow.
And I say, I'm losing energy. I mean, this is, and then, okay, that's one. I dream about him again. We're dreaming we're going to go somewhere. He's all dressed up, and he walks off with one of these movie stars I've seen on TV, like that woman on Married with Children, the blonde, the cute one. He walks off with her and leaves me behind. So those are 2 dreams I've had about him.
Oh, okay. So, Mimi, what do you think about those dreams?
Okay, so the first one, you're with him, and people are shooting at you, and
yes.
you're running, and you make it to safety, but then
yes.
he shoots you in the back.
I say, oh, we're safe, and we go to his house. I turn to walk away, and he shoots me, I remember, 3 times.
Okay, well, we're going to boil it down for the sake of time to that.
Okay.
If we say somebody shot me in the back or somebody stabbed me in the back, that's a metaphor, so... What does that mean to you if you say somebody shot you in the back?
I can't trust him.
Okay. So I would look at whether this is actually about him or something else. What's going on in your life where you feel like you can't trust someone?
Okay.
And also they're a drain on your energy.
Oh, yeah, because I was really tired after I got shot. I was like, I'm tired.
Right. And there are people who energetically suck the life out of us.
Okay.
And... there can be an interesting relationship dynamic with that. But, I mean, especially if somebody's betraying you or doing something that feels like they're shooting you in the back, that you can't trust them, that's the kind of person that would be an energy drain. So
okay.
When did you have this dream?
Oh, I had this dream probably, and I told him about the dream and he laughed. I had the dream probably, it's been about a month now, about a month ago.
Maybe. Okay, and you said you kind of like him.
Mm-hmm.
Has there ever been any actual dating or...
Yeah, we've gone out.
Okay. Are you still dating?
We go out sometimes.
Randomly?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other dream, he walks off with Christina Applegate.
That naughty man.
He's all dressed up. I think he's taking me out, but he takes her out, and they walk away. In that dream, I'm angry. I have some really choice words for him in that dream.
I'll bet. And so, without, again, going too much into your private life on the radio, which you may or may not want to do, I would ask yourself, since this dating situation seems kind of off and on, and, I don't know if he's dating other people. Do you know if he's dating other people?
No, I don't know that.
So you guys haven't really communicated about that.
No, we've discussed it and said if the case, we'd share and be upfront with each other. We decided to go off with other people.
But he hasn't told you anything?
No.
Okay, do you have a sense?
No, not right now, I don't.
Okay. Well, I don't like to put dreams in the fortune-telling category, but I do think they give us a lot of information. And I think that they can tap into things that we're not consciously aware of,
mm-hmm.
but I also think they can show our fears. So there's 2 layers here to look at. So something in your dreams is sort of pulling up a red flag saying, hey, I'm not sure if I can trust this guy. I'm losing energy. I'm not sure if he's, I'm feeling betrayed. In both dreams, you're betrayed by him because
mm-hmm.
in one, he literally shoots you in the back. And in the other, you think he's taking you out and he goes off with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that that's actually the case, that he's dating around and not telling you, which if you're not exclusive, you have an agreement that you tell each other, but I don't know. You'd have to have a talk with him about that. Mm-hmm. And then the other layer, like I was saying, is your feelings. He might not be seeing anyone. He just might be really engrossed in his work, but you can still feel betrayed by somebody for various reasons. It doesn't always have to be another woman. In fact, that's common. A lot of people dream that their partner is cheating when their partner's really just working a lot or traveling for work, and they're not really seeing someone else, but we're feeling cheated out of our time with him.
Oh, that's interesting, because I've had that dream. I've had that dream before. Well, that's interesting, Lily. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Lily.
All right. Bye-bye. We're going to take a very quick break, and we'll be right back to continue talking with the dream detective, Mimi Pettibone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Northwest Sellers, we cover the world of animals. This week, February 17th, it's the third Sunday of the month, and that means it's a Kevin and Kim Sunday. Always entertaining, Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive, will host the show for me. They'll have open phone lines, so Kim can help you connect with your animal or human loved ones on this side or the other. So plan to give them a call. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Coming soon on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Find out what drives us to compete when we talk to number one New York Times bestselling author Poe Bronson about his new book, Top Dog. And watch out, guys, when we explore how to unleash the power of the female brain with one of the world's leading brain experts, Dr. Daniel G. Amen. We'll also tell you what you need to know about shingles and if you can avoid becoming one of the million Americans who succumb to this painful condition every year. Tune in every Monday at noon Pacific to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for details and more than 200 archived podcasts.
I was leaving an exercise class.
All of a sudden, the pain started.
My entire chest.
Shortness of breath.
Very fatigued.
Nauseated. Thought that it was nothing much, maybe just stress.
You're having a heart attack.
I'm healthy. I'm young. There's no way it could be my heart. No way.
Heart disease doesn't discriminate.
Listen to your body. Go get checked.
Heart disease is the number one killer in women.
And this is something that we can fight.
Visit GoRedForWomen.org to learn a woman's risk for heart disease.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
More choices, more topics, more shows, one station. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And we're talking about dreams in this segment, especially romantic and sensual dreams. We're talking with the dream detective, Seattle's own, but I know she works with people all over the place. And her name is Mimi Pettibone. And Mimi, let's mention this up front because I nearly always run out of time because I try to cram so much in. You have some workshops coming up in the spring.
Yes, I'm going to be hosting some workshops as well as some dream groups. And everything's in the works right now. So if they go to my website and sign up for my email list, they'll get first notice when those are posted. And they'll also get some free tip sheets on how to remember their dreams and how to ask their dreams a question.
Okay. And that is thedreamdetective.com?
Yeah.
Okay. Thedreamdetective.com. And just as an FYI to everyone, this is Random Acts of Kindness this week. So I'm encouraging everyone, and myself included, to do random acts of kindness and enjoy that boomerang effect. It definitely comes back to you. All right. So a couple more questions that I had come in from listeners. I talked with this gentleman on the phone, and we're just going to call him X.
Okay.
And he was really quite upset about this. I could tell in his voice. And I've summarized it, but I've used his key words here. He's been celibate since his divorce 10 years ago because of his religious beliefs. He does believe in marriage before sex. I want to stress, he said, that I'm 100% heterosexual, always have been, always will be. And he's really frustrated and just can't understand why the heck he keeps dreaming about a male colleague. He said it's upsetting him. He said, we don't do anything in the dream, but there's a lot of flirtation between us. And I want to stress this happens only in the dream, which he's had about four times. And when this other male comes into his place of business, he flies up from out of state. It's all business. But he's really embarrassed to meet him knowing what he's dreamt about him. Make sense?
Absolutely. Another common one, so he can rest assured there's no doubt about his sexual orientation because of this dream. So, again, it's that what qualities does that person represent? It's very similar to the woman who dreamed about her creepy boss. She would never in her wildest daydreams think of getting romantic with someone like that, but yet in the dream she's connecting with those qualities.
Mm.
So in this dream it's interesting because it's a flirtation, and he says we don't do anything, so it's like a flirtation but not going all the way. So I would add, whereas the other woman, she dreamed the full-on sex dreams prior to.
Right.
So I'd say, what qualities does that person represent? Probably something to do with their work. So maybe that person is in a higher position or a different type of position that he would rather be in. Or it could be something in the guy's personal life. That guy has something that this guy wants, and he's flirting with the idea of connecting and embracing those qualities in himself, but he's not going all the way with it.
Ah, that's interesting, because I do remember him saying he admired him professionally. Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
So he can take those qualities and start integrating them into his own personality.
All right. Well, Mimi, we've got literally 1 minute left, but I want to get this in. It's from Yvette. New Year's Eve, her boyfriend of 5 months asked her to marry him. She was absolutely ecstatic. They're having an engagement celebration on Valentine's Day and announcing it to family and friends. However, since then, she's had several rampant dreams about former boyfriends and complete strangers that she might have met that day. She doesn't even know their names. Her question is, am I not ready to marry, or am I just having my last flings in my dreams?
It could be the last fling dreams. And also, before people get married, it's really common to have any kind of anxiety dreams, whether it's this fear of cheating or fear that my partner is turning into a weirdo. It's very common, because anything that we push down in the daytime, because we're all happy and this is a celebration, we don't have any room to express our fears and concerns. So those are going to come up in our sleep. But it doesn't, as long as everything's okay, otherwise it doesn't mean that there's any kind of problem whatsoever.
Interesting. All right. Well, always, always, always fun to talk with you.
You too.
And listeners can find out more about you at thedreamdetective.com. And don't forget, Mimi has some workshops coming up in the spring. So go check her website for more information. And she'll update as it goes along, thedreamdetective.com. And Mimi Pettibone is my guest. And we will be back with you next week. I hope you all have a wonderful Valentine's Day. And if you're single, you know, don't fret. Go out and do something fun for yourself, because you're worth it. Go spoil yourself. And if you're in a couple, then obviously go have good fun. And we'll be back next week with an all-new show. I do want to just throw out, it's Random Acts of Kindness Week next week. And so my company is offering, I know there are many long-term unemployed people in the Seattle area. We have a deal going where if you'd like to send your resume to us for review, for input, for editing, we will do that free of charge this week. We can only offer that to the first 20 people who send that in. But if you have been long-term unemployed and would like a professional glance at your resume, please do send that in. And either myself or my colleague will look at it. It will be totally confidential. And we'll do that free of charge for you. What else do I need to tell you? Well, if you know where to get hold of me, if you have any questions about today's show, 800-495-7617. And if you're interested in having your resume reviewed and edited, you can send it to info@conversationslive.net. info@conversationslive.net. We will see you next week. Thank you for being with us today. Thanks for spending this hour with us. And until next week, live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.